In the fifth reading of Parshas Va'eschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu now follows up with a discussion about the Aseret HaDibrot. So we got a restatement of the Aseret HaDibrot, of the proverbial Ten Commandments. And now Moshe Rabbeinu kind of follows up and talks about this experience. Chapter 5, verse 19. Es HaDvarim Ha'ela Dibir Hashem. These words were spoken by God. El kol kahalchem, to your entire congregation, which refers not to a parochial group of people, but rather the plurality of the Jewish people. Everybody was there. And it happened bahar, in the mountain, mitoy ha'esh, from the midst of the fire, ha'onon, the cloud, ha'arofel, the thick darkness, koil godel, a great voice, v'lo yosef, a great unending voice. Vayichtevim, and then these very same words, after having been spoken by God at Mount Sinai in the midst of the fire and the smoke and the darkness, were now inscribed or written al shnei luchos avonim, on two tablets of stone. Vayitnem Eloi, and they were given to me. Now we're going to just analyze this first verse. We're going to talk about not how the Jewish people responded, Moshe Rabbeinu recounts that, and not how they said, after hearing the voice of God the first time, this is too intense, it's too much for us. Let us speak to you. You tell us what he said. But this was the initial thrust. This is the initial opening of Aseret HaDibrot. Let's take a look in Rashi, and then we'll see what the other Mefarshim have to say. So Rashi does not discuss the idea that's self-understood. He doesn't talk about the fire, the smoke, the darkness, because that's already been mentioned, really. But what is new here is the fact that Moshe describes this voice as Lo Yosef, a voice that's unending, a voice that continues on. What does that mean? So Rashi says the word Yosef, which is mentioned here, and in many places throughout the scripture, actually is a little bit confusing. It has two possible meanings. It could mean a voice that ended, or it could mean a voice that never ended. It's like oxymoronic, one extreme or the other. Either it's a voice that didn't continue on, or is still continuing on. Where do we see that? The most famous example of this is when Yehuda is together with Tamar. And then afterwards, there's this whole hullabaloo about Tamar having done something illegal, terrible, and they want to give her the harshest kind of consequence and judgment. And she sends Yehuda's personal effects, and she says, Hakana, you recognize this? Hey, this is the guy. And Yehuda fesses up. He takes the shame, he fesses up, he says, Tzadka Himena, she's right. I made a mistake. I'm the one who denied her natural rights. And so it says, V'lo Yosef. It says about Yehuda's relationship with Tamar, v'le Yosef oidladata. And there's two opinions as to what this means. One opinion means he remained married to her. Another opinion is he was never with her again. One extreme or the other. So how and why that works, I'm not going to discuss right now. Another example we have later in the book of Numbers is where Eldad and Medad prophesize. And it says v'le Yosefu. They prophesize, and then they don't continue prophesizing afterwards. That's their one-time prophecy, or v'lo yosafu. No. Once they started, these half-brothers of Moshe Rabbeinu continued to prophesize. So the question over here means, it really is, when you say kol gadol, a great voice, what does it mean v'lo yosaf? So Rashi says, mistargaminon, in unkelus it's rendered as v'lo yfsak, which is the voice of God that didn't end. Now what does it mean, a voice that didn't end? Do you hear the voice of Sinai? With the people forever standing in front of Mount Sinai? Moshe Rabbeinu right now is talking about an event that happened. So if it's an event that happened, how could you say it's a voice that never stopped? So Rashi explains, L'fishamidas basav adam, the nature of a human is, she'en yochel ledaber kol dvarav b'neshima achas. You cannot speak and speak and speak and speak endlessly without drawing a breath. And that's why people stop, they pause in their speech. Yes, it's true. It's also people pause for effect. But the fact is, if you don't draw a breath, or you don't allow air into your lungs, which is the more scientifically accurate term, you will not be able to keep speaking. Your lung needs to replenish itself. It needs to. So if it's tzarech lahafsik, invariably a person will stop, and they'll take a breath, and they'll allow the lungs to expand, and then they'll speak again. Because although the voice doesn't come from the lungs, it's a part of it. You need the air in your lungs to be able to speak. So therefore, tzarech lahafsik, you have to then stop. The voice of God is not like this. I guess this is in some ways like a metallic voice. What makes a voice metallic is no inflection. It never stops for a breath. It just keeps talking. So therefore, the voice of Hashem is loy hoya poisek. There were no interruptions. The voice spoke and spoke and spoke. So that's one opinion as to what it means loy pasak. So the voice unending. Unending means uninterrupted. An uninterrupted voice, a voice for which there is no requirement to draw breath. Now, Rashi says, "Umishaloi hoya poisek," because this was a voice that didn't require interruption per se. So it was also lahoya moisif. It was also a voice that was literally, so to speak, continuing. So, in other words, because that voice is a voice that is powerful, whose meaning and impact continues to resonate. So, on one hand, on a literal level, it's like pasek, there were no interruptions. And proverbially speaking, it's an uninterrupted, so to speak, in a metaphor, it's a voice that continues to resonate. Davar acher, another interpretation, which means unending and non-stopping, is, this is just like the other times we have two opinions. Here's the other opinion. The other opinion is v'lo yosof. Lo yosof means it didn't interrupt or end, meaning lo yosof, it did end. Lo yosof, it didn't reappear, meaning lo hoisif, lo hirois b'isif pumbi. God has never again revealed himself in that kind of public fashion. So people say, if God would speak to me, ha, then I would be at tzaddik. Then I would be righteous, observant, obedient. I would love God and be so loyal if he would speak to me. You know, if once in a while he would show his face again. But it doesn't work like that. This is a one-time thing. He revealed himself once, and now it's our job to continue to move with that inspiration. When Mashiach will come, then the voice of Hashem will be apparent, then everything will change. But until that happens, it's not going to be the case. So that's the meaning of Lo Yosef. We have two interpretations as the voice that is uninterrupted, non-stopping, or the voice that only revealed itself once, a voice that never comes again. Now, the Ibn Ezra simply maintains that Kol Gadol Lo Yosef is not either of the two. It's not the unending or not the uncontinuing. He said rather, Kol Gadol means a voice that was never seen before. That's it. This is called, what is it called? Gadol. Gadol, big voice. There are people who have booming voices, radio announcers. Is that a big voice? So he says the idea of Kol Gadol is intrinsically big, bigger than anything you could imagine. It's bigger than this world. A one-time event, bigger than this world. And it actually shattered or melted reality down. The Ksava Kabbalah explains the idea of Kol Gadol in the following. He says it was such a great voice that everybody heard it individually. The wise person heard a profound message. The person who was understanding heard in a message that was something he could comprehend, something he could understand a profundity in or a depth in. People who were simple and unlettered, little children, everybody heard the voice of Hashem and it spoke to them. So it was the same words, but at the same time, they didn't hear the same thing. Even on a literal level, people come to a class, for example, or presentation, they'll leave with something else. Everybody heard something else. Nobody hears exactly what was said. And that's why when you're hearing it for the second level, it's already second generation. You're not hearing. So, but when it came to Har Sinai, this was kind of amplified. Everybody literally felt as if God was speaking to him. This was personal. It related to them. And they were able to understand it according to the level, which is obviously a miracle. Ramban says that the meaning of Kol Gadol V'lo Yosef is that the power of Hashem's voice continued unabated until the end of Aseret HaDibrot, which is very much along the lines of what Rashi says in the not drawing of breath. The Beinu Miucha says, along the lines of the second interpretation of Rashi, Le'yosef means it's a one-time voice, meaning you get Aseret HaDibro. God made 10 statements, no more statements. There were more mitzvahs, but no more statements. These 10 statements incorporated and encapsulated everything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, but it didn't go any further from there. So these are some of the ways we understand Kol Godov Le'yosef in a level of Pshat or of Remez and Drush. And now we're going to take a look and see two interpretations, two very interesting ideas that the Rebbe shares with us about the idea of Kol Godov Le'yosef. Both of them based on different teachings in the Medrash Rabbah. Page Samach in the Biurim book. The first Medrash the Rebbe quotes here is a Medrash Rabbah that says the following. What is the meaning of Kol Godol, a great voice for Le'yosef? Says the Medrash, Koil Echad Nechlak L'Zayin Koilis. One voice, one sound, that later subdivided into seven sounds. Seven, I guess what you will call frequencies. One voice with seven frequencies. V'hein Nechalokim L'Ayin Loshen. And the seven frequencies subdivided into 70 languages. 70 languages. Seven frequencies into 70 languages. So the Rebbe asks, what does that mean? Why did God's voice have to divide into 70 languages? Who was he speaking to? The Jewish people. Don't you think Hebrew should work for him? Why 70 languages? And really the bigger question is, why is this even a part of Matan Torah? This is a Jewish event. This is about the nation of Israel being selected and chosen. We make a bracha, we go up to the Torah, Shabbachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim, selected us from all the nations, Nasan Lano Estidosei. The Avud Raham says it refers to Matan Torah. God selected us, chose us, gave us his Torah. I mean, Rosh Hashanah is a universal event, the creation of humankind. Adam and Eve weren't necessarily Jewish. But Shavuot is a Jewish thing. Nobody else celebrates Shavuot. Nobody talks about Shavuot. Half the Jews don't even know about Shavuot. So the Rebbe says that there's a phenomenal idea that's being conveyed to us. A very, very important idea that actually reorients the way we should look at Mount Sinai and Torah and people, the Jewish people and the world. Yiduim divrei HaRambam. There are very famous words of the Rambam b'yachas l'sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach with regard to the seven Noahide laws, the universal laws that God gave for all of humanity. And this is a quote. This is found in the Laws of Kings, the 8th chapter, Halacha Yud Aleph. The Rambam says, Kol hamakabel sheva mitzvahs. Any human being who accepts upon his or herself to comport themselves in accordance with the seven rules that God gave them for life, v'nizhar la'asayson, not only do they accept these things principally, but they actually are meticulous about doing them, ha'reizeh mechasidei u'meisa'ilom, then they are considered to be the non-Jewish chasidim. You don't have to be Jewish to be a chasid. Be chasidei u'meisa'ilom. Chasidim, pious people from the nations. And the Rambam says, v'yesh loy chelek la'ilom haba, they have a portion of the world to come. They get a piece of eternity. The who, but there's a proviso here. To be chassidei umas ha'olam, to be the righteous amongst the nations, you need sheyikabel eisen v'yasa eisen mipnei shetziva behem hakadosh baruch hu b'torah. You need to do it because God commanded us to do it. This cannot be ideas that you like or appreciate. I'll adopt them. This has to be ideas that God gave us, and because God wants me to do it, I'm going to do it whether I understand it or not. If you understand it, it makes sense to you, great. But that's not, and the reason you do it is not because it does, you do or don't understand it. The reason you do it is because God says. V'hoi diyenu al yedei Moshe. And he made it known to us through Moshe Rabbeinu. Shebnei Noach. That the children of Noah, prior, already in the time of Adam and Eve, and then the seventh commandment, which is the commandment that was given to Noah about eating meat, this is something that had been given previously. However, the Rambam includes the idea that it was made known to us through Moses, through Moshe. Where? At Mount Sinai, obviously. Aval says that Aval, however, if a person did this because he's a reasonable person, rhyme, reason, logic, spiritual logic, it appeals to him. He came to the conclusion that these are good principles to live by. Ein Ziger Teshav, he or she is not going to be considered a naturalized resident alien in Israel. V'eini mechasidi umasayilam, they are not one of the pious of the nations. V'loy mechachameim, and not amongst their wise. So it turns out, according to the Rambam, the notion that Har Sinai, Matan Torah, the sounds of Sinai were only a Jewish event, is not true. Yes, it's a Jewish event. Yes, the Torah was given to the Jewish people. However, all people are supposed to follow seven laws, and those seven laws have to be followed because God said so at Mount Sinai. Incidentally, the Rebbe doesn't quote it here, but guess whose job it is to teach it to the whole world? Because the Torah was given to us. It's our job to teach those laws to everybody. So the Rebbe says, V'yeshleimar, in view of the Rambam's opinion, in the view of his illuminating commentary, this is the hint, this is the illusion, this is why we have this idea that the great voice of Matan Torah was nechalak, divided, subdivided into Shivim Lashon, into 70 languages, 7 frequencies, 70 languages. Lilamdeinu, this comes to convey and teach, that those mitzvahs which are applicable and relevant for nations of the world, so those mitzvahs, Hadavrim b'shivim lashon, which speak in 70 languages, which is the proverbial amount of languages that humanity speaks. That's the official number. So since that's the number, a person has to know that the idea of doing those mitzvahs, mikoyran, the source of those mitzvahs, is b'matan Torah. V'yesh l'kaimon, and they should be fulfilled, b'glal tzivei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because God said to do it, not because you've decided this is a nice way to live. In other words, the Rebbe sees in this medrash not just a little curio or some information. What do we do with this now? Okay, the voice of God divided in 70 languages. What does that mean? So the Rebbe sees within this a very, very important lesson. The medrash is trying to tell us that there is a Jewish element to the giving of the Torah. It is Asher Bachar Banu, He chose us. Nasan Lanu, He gave us as Terasa His Torah. But at the same time, the sounds of Sinai had a universal message as well. And transcending the particularism of the Jewish people, there is also a universalist call for all of humanity to fall into step with this, so to speak, march that is leading us into a perfected world. Each and every member of the human family can and therefore should be inspired by the sounds of Sinai and keep the 7 Noahide laws. So that's lesson number 1 from Kol Gadol V'Lo Yosef. And now here, the Rebbe goes on to quote later on the same Medrash. And the Medrash says, Masha ha-Nevi'im asidim lehisnabes b'chol der v'der. All that the prophets will speak of in later generations. So whether it's Prophet Shmuel or Eliyahu, Elisha, Yeshayo, Yechezkel, Yonah, whoever it may be, all the prophets, 48 in total, all of them, says the Medrash Kiblu Mahar Sinai, they all have received their inspiration from Mount Sinai. And then the Medrash says, you should know, it's Leikol HaNeviim Bilvad, it's not only the prophets that received their Nevuah, their prophecy, from an unending profusion of divinity that came from Sinai. The truly wise, the great Torah leaders of every generation, each one of them received his measure of understanding from Sinai. And this is the meaning of what is said. God spoke to the entire assembled. A great voice that was unending, uninterrupted. In other words, the voice of Sinai continues to resonate. It continues to carry forward. And it's actually heard by the prophets, by the sages of the later generations. Shemimenu nisnavu, it is the well and the source from which all of their prophecies came. Kol hanaviim sha'amdu. So, isn't that obvious? Isn't it obvious that everything comes from Sinai? After all, we say Moshe kibul Torah miSinai, umesara liYeshua, miYeshua lizakenim, zakenim leNeviim, and Neviim lanshe kenas hagdil. This is the first Mishnah of Pirkei Avot. Moshe gets the Torah from Sinai, and from Sinai he gets to Joshua, to the elders, to the prophets. What's the chiddush of the Medrash? So the Rebbe suggests that Yichud Shel Maimed Har Sinai ubekach, the uniqueness of the events at Sinai were shaTeira nitna by bedarga gavoya beYoser. It wasn't only the fact that we got the Torah, but it was the kind of Torah we got. It was the way, the quality of that transmission. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hichnis etz atzmei kaviyachol. What's the quality? What happened at Mount Sinai? We say it was as if God invested himself, so to speak, b'toich haTorah, in the Torah. Shenasal of Nei saw that he gave to the Jewish people, k'divrei haGemara, like the words of the Gemara, which is found in Maseches Shabbos, on the 100, page 105, that it says, the word Anoichi, which Anoichi is Pesachas as Aseres HaDibris, that is the first of the first word of this entire communication, that the Gemara says, it's a Rosh HaTevis, it's an acronym for Ano Nafshi K'tavit Yahavit Ma'ai. I've written myself, I've written my soul, God says, I wrote my soul into this. That means Anoichi. I've invested myself, my soul, into these teachings that I'm giving you. So here's the point. Hoya Mokim Lachshav, it would have been possible to conceive Shehizgalus El Yenazu, that this extraordinarily lofty and supernal kind of revelation, the proverbial Ten Commandments, so to speak. Oh, the Ten Commandments, that came on non nafchik of Jehovah's. There's the essence of divinity that's vested in the words that Hashem told us. Okay. But that's only for Aseret HaDibrut. That's only for those 10 statements, which was nitnu b'mefurish, which was given explicitly and clearly, u'begaloi, in a revealed way, at the time of Matan Torah, at the Maimed Har Sinai. V'ilu, however, one might well think that sha'or chelkia Torah, the other portions of the Torah, parts of the Torah, ideas and ideals, shenitnu me'uchar yaiser, that were only given to us at a later time. So you say, or his galu idea neviim, maybe it wasn't even given later through Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather it was only revealed through the later prophets. Like, for example, everybody knows you get up in the morning, you say, Modani. Where does that come from?
From Balak.
From Balak?
No, not Balak.
Matayvu comes from Balak and Bilam. Yeah. Where does Maidani come from? The verse of Maidani is found in the book of Lamentations. It says, Chadoshim labkorim rabbe munasecha. Chadoshim labkarim, the Jewish people, that the prophet Jeremiah says, you can be renewed fresh all over again in the morning. Great is your faithfulness. So this is the idea. Maidani comes from there. How do we know we say Maidani? We know we say Maidani because Jeremiah taught us this. Modani is the first words the Jew says in the morning that I thankfully acknowledge. Thankfully acknowledge that everything comes from God. So in other words, Maidani is such an important part. We don't know if Jewish people once said Maidani, if they always said Maidani, if they said the idea of Maidani, the words of Maidani they didn't have, because the words of Maidani are only revealed later on through the prophet Jeremiah, and only towards the end of the second temple, first temple era. So there are many ideas of Torah that became revealed to us later on. So you would think, Matan Torah, that intense, powerful of a time and event, that was with a full quality, that was where Anon Nafshik Sovis Yavis, that's where God, so to speak, vested himself in, gave of himself in the most, so to speak, free way. But later on, you know, it's diminished. Not as intense. Not as profound. The quality was not in the same level. It was Bali Maimed Nomoch Yeser. They were lower than Moshe, and their ideas and teachings were diminished. Lakach Nemar, for this very reason, it says, Kol Godol, a great voice reverberated at Sinai. Veloy Yosaf, a voice uninterrupted. Lulamdenu, to teach us Shekol Chelkei HaTorah, all portions of the Torah. Gamelu, she's Galabadetus Mucharim, even the parts of Torah that were only revealed in later generations. Mahavim Hemshech Yosher La'oisei Kol Godol, this is one continuum. Like a line, which is made of many dots. It's one direct line that comes from Har Sinai, the sounds of Sinai, unabated. Shehushma that were heard b'shas matan teda, kol adinim v'amin hagim, all of the rules, all of the customs, shakavu chachmei yisrael, which the sages established for us, B'chol adeiros, over all of the generations. Mahavim gilui meis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of them serve as a revelation. All of it, they're all envelope for the presence of God. B'chvoideu v'atzmei, divinity itself. Kilu hu atzmei amrom beifin yasha, as if God himself would have told us, light a menorah on Chanukah. Listen to the Megillah on Purim. Mamish, literally, and the most tangible, if you will, or most actual way, like it was b'maimad Har Sinai. Yet, true, no lightning, no thunder, no smoke. There isn't as much drama. But on a spiritual level, it's a kol gadol v'le'yosef. It's a sound that continues to reverberate. Now we know a little bit about what the great voice means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us so we should see that revelation all over again with the coming of Mashiach ben Peter. Will be a minu. Amen.